content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, April 7th through Sunday, April 13th, 2025. The commentary for April was written by Owen Weber Courtney, who serves as Director of Information and Spirituality at St. John's Episcopal Church, Jacksonville, Florida. She is a teacher, lay minister, and sacred ground facilitator. She is also a third-generation Forward Day by Day reader. She lives and works in Florida and North Carolina and cherishes time with her husband, children, and grandchildren. The commentary for Monday, April 7th, begins as follows with a passage from the Gospel of John, chapter 9, verse 3. Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him." Here's the commentary. Jesus makes it very clear in this healing that we are not disabled or ill because of the sins of our mothers or fathers or because we haven't been prayerful or faithful enough. And yet, we live in a world where many Christians believe the opposite. How have we strayed so far? In this passage, Jesus tells and shows us that with God, all things are possible, even when things have fallen apart. And this is not because of human error or fallibility, but because God wants to reveal God's self so we can know and love God more and more. "Today, I will gather with friends to walk a beloved sister home. We will pray and give thanks for her life, and then we will say goodbye. Her death is tragic, but God will be in the midst of this holy gathering to show us the power of God's mighty works. We will celebrate her life and God's presence on her journey to life eternal." And now I'm going to read from the full gospel passage for this Monday, from John chapter 9, verses 1 through 17. "As he walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, 'Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?' Jesus answered, 'Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world.' When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, 'Go wash in the pool of Siloam,' which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, 'Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?' Some were saying, 'It is he.' Others were saying, 'No, but it is someone like him.' He kept saying, 'I am the man.' But they kept asking him, 'Then how were your eyes opened?' He answered, 'The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' Then I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, 'Where is he?' He said, 'I do not know.' They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight. He said to them, 'He put mud on my eyes, then I washed, and now I see.' Some of the Pharisees said, 'This man is not from God, for he is not observing the Sabbath. But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And they were divided. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him? It was your eyes he opened?" He said, "He is a prophet." And the moving forward question for this Monday is, where have God's works been revealed to you in pain, sadness, illness, or tragedy? The commentary for Tuesday, April 8th, begins with a passage from the Gospel of John, chapter 35b to 36. "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir? Tell me, so that I may believe in him." Continuing from yesterday's gospel, we hear that some people did not believe the man Jesus healed had actually been born blind. So the interrogation began. It appears that when these faith leaders got frustrated, they drove the blind man out of the temple. But Jesus went and found him and asked him the question in today's excerpt from John, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" The answer reminds me of the little children I teach as chaplain at a small country day school. "Tell me so that I may believe in him." The student body comprises children of all religions and faiths, and we teach character foundations from a spiritual perspective tinged with Christian understanding. When I tell them about Jesus and God's love for every one of us, they beam and often say, "Who is Jesus? What else does he do?" And now I'm going to read from the full passage of the Gospel of John, chapter 9, verses 18 through 41. The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but we do not know how it is that now he sees, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "Is he of age? Ask him." So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind, and they said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "I do not know whether he is a sinner, for one thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" Then they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Here is an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to one who worships him and obeys his will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born entirely in sins, and are you trying to teach us?" And they drove him out. And the moving forward question for this day, or the moving forward statement, is, share the love of God with someone today. Now let's turn to the commentary for Wednesday, April 9th. It is the day on which we commemorate the life of Dietrich Bonhoeffer. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 7. "So again, Jesus said to them, 'Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep.'" Once the sheep were all safely in the fold for the night, A Middle Eastern shepherd would often lie across the opening so that nothing could get through without confronting or even killing him. When Jesus says he is the gate for the sheep, he tells us that he is prepared to lay down his life for his sheep. "I am the gate" is not a statement of who qualifies to get in, but of the level of protection that Jesus as our shepherd offers. Nothing can hurt us with Jesus as our gate. It is fitting that on this day we remember Dietrich Bonhoeffer, pastor, author, and anti-Nazi dissident. Bonhoeffer laid down his life for Christ when the Nazis forbade him to speak in public against their atrocities. He said, "Grace is free, but not cheap. The cost is nothing less than everything." And now I'm going to read from this full Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 1 through 18. "Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers." Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice, so there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father." And the moving forward question for this day: when have you felt the protection of the gate of the Good Shepherd? The commentary for Thursday, April 10th, begins with a passage also from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 20. "Many of them were saying, 'He has a demon and is out of his mind. Why listen to him?'" In John 10, verse 16, Jesus says that no one takes his life from him. "I lay it down of my own accord." The leaders who are challenging Jesus don't understand what he is saying, but instead of asking questions and engaging in conversation, they are quick to dismiss him as one plagued by a demon. The misunderstandings, tensions, and divisions that are rife in our world and in our church often lead us to accusations of madness. And in the midst of those arguments, we lose sight of what binds us together. I am convinced that seeking and embracing the love of God and the peace that passes all understanding will assuage the heated nature of these tensions. As we move toward Holy Week, I wonder how long it will take for those tensions and divisions to subside and for the people of God to recognize that love is the law. How many times can one see the body of Christ hanging on a tree before one comes to an understanding of how, in his mind, Jesus really was? And now I'm going to read the full gospel passage for this day from John chapter 10, verses 19 through 42. Again, the Jews were divided because of these words. Many of them were saying, "He has a demon and is out of his mind. Why listen to him?" Others were saying, "These are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" At that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple, in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe me. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe me because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." The Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus replied, "I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of these are you going to stone me?" The Jews answered, "It is not for a good work that we are going to stone you, but for blasphemy, because you, though only a human being, are making yourself God." Jesus answered, "Is it not written in your law, 'I said you are gods'? If those to whom the word of God came were called gods and the scripture cannot be annulled, can you say that the one whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world is blaspheming because I said, 'I am God's Son'? If I am not doing the works of my Father, then do not believe me. But if I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe the works, so that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I am in the Father." Then they tried to arrest him again, but he escaped from their hands. He went away again across the Jordan to the place where John had been baptizing earlier, and he remained there. Many came to him, and they were saying, "John performed no sign, but everything that John said about this man was true." And many believed in him there. And the moving forward question for this day, has there been a time in your life when love as the law has soothed you? The commentary for Friday, April 11th, begins with a passage from Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. "For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope." In context, this verse from Jeremiah in the Old Testament refers to God's plan to restore the exiles. Slightly out of context, however, it reminds me of the beautiful words from Julian of Norwich, "All shall be well, all manner of things shall be well." Even as the last brick was placed, sealing her into her anchorage at Norwich Cathedral, Julian said, "I have never felt so fully alive. She surely knew the plans God had for her." As her journey as an anchorite began, cut off from the world, living for the rest of her life in a 9-by-12-foot room with a dirt floor, a few furnishings and a washbowl that served as a toilet, she still envisioned a hopeful future. In the most lamentable book in the Old Testament, isn't it lovely that even Jeremiah reminds us of a future with hope? And now I'm going to read from The book of Jeremiah, chapter 29, verse 1, and then verses 4 through 13. These are the words of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the remaining elders among the exiles, and to the priests, the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them, plant gardens and eat what they produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its welfare you will find your welfare. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let the prophets and the diviners who are among you deceive you, and do not listen to the dreams that they dream. For it is a lie that they are prophesying to you in my name. I did not send them, says the Lord. For thus says the Lord, only when Babylon's 70 years are completed will I visit you, and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope. Then when you call upon me and come and pray to me, I will hear you. When you search for me, you will find me, if you seek me with all your heart. And the moving forward question for this Friday, a simple one. Where do you find hope? The commentary for Saturday, April 12th, begins with a passage from Psalm 137, verse 4. How shall we sing the Lord's song upon an alien soil? In a sermon about forgiveness preached years ago, the Right Reverend Frank Vest, former bishop of Southern Virginia, began with this question from Psalm 137. At the time, I was struggling with the ways of the institutional church, and I was preparing for a pilgrimage. When I heard the sermon, I knew this would be my pilgrimage question. What I didn't know was that the question would stay with me for another 25 years. Living in exile, the Hebrew people struggled to remember the Lord's song. Over the century, some people in the institutional church have struggled to remember the Lord's song. I know I have sat down and wept many times as I searched for my voice in God's song. In these waning days of Lent, I wonder if we can seek to recognize alien soil that deprives us of the Lord's song and summon the courage to sing with our own voices, joyfully and with great thanksgiving, very soon. And now I'm going to read Psalm 137. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, and there we wept when we remembered Zion. On the willows there we hung up our harps, for there our captors asked us for songs, and our tormentors asked for mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How could we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand wither. Let my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth if I do not remember you, if I do not set Jerusalem above my highest joy. Remember, O Lord, against the Edomites, the day of Jerusalem's fall, how they said, tear it down, down to its foundations. O daughter Babylon, you devastator, happy shall they be who pay you back what you have done to us. Happy shall they be who take your little ones and dash them against the rock. And the moving forward suggestion for this Saturday, April 12th, is Sing God's Song on Alien Soil. And now, as we reach the end of the program for this week and the end of this week, let us turn now to the commentary for Palm Sunday, Sunday of the Passion. It begins with a message from Luke 23:47b. Certainly, this man was innocent. In the moment just after Jesus takes his last breath on the cross, the Gospel of Luke gives us a bold statement of Jesus' innocence, a truth ignored except by Pilate, who claims Jesus' innocence, the centurion and the criminal hanging beside Jesus, who cries out, "This man has done nothing wrong." When we read the Passion narrative today and cry out the words of the crowd, "Crucify him, crucify him," we too ignore his innocence and silence his voice. We are reminded how often we are complicit in hurting others and condemning the innocent. Christ calls us to follow the truth and be a witness for righteousness. And the moving forward question for this Palm Sunday 2025, where can you stand up for the innocent in the face of a crowd? And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Let us pray. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living and loving in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our heart's longings for the healing of our world. Knowing that you are hearing us much better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in all the holy names of God. Amen. I'm George Douglas. Thank you so much for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week, Holy Week, as we lead up to Easter Sunday. From Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.